Morning. Howdy.
How's everyone doing out there? This is Jeff Wendell.
Hey, Jeff, it's Karin. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. Oh, everyone else must be muted out. Yeah, so, well, I'm glad you made it on time, because there'd be no call if you couldn't make it in.
How are you doing?
Good, good. So, everyone else out there, we have you muted right now, and we're going to start the call at 1 o'clock. This is the Mastery Teach call. Yep, I'm doing good, except it's a little cold. You know, I just left Austin. It was 75 degrees, and right now we have a little northeaster going. No snow, but a lot of rain and wind. So I'm not
I was
going to
ask you about the weather. No snow, huh?
No snow. I was out in San Diego, and all it did was rain for like 5 days. Everyone says, like, San Diego, the weather's always 75 and better. Wrong.
Yeah, well, we got our rain, you know. Hopefully we're done with our drought. That would be cool.
Yeah, we got a lot of rain. That's really good. It was really good talk. We have a lot of people that are asking about how to use their self-directed IRAs and, like, perfect timing for this call.
Awesome. Happy to help. I'll take all questions. Looks like you guys are in for some rain, just looking at your weather thing.
Oh, yeah. That's all it's doing. It's pouring out. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fly
What's
up
that?
To Seattle. You know, it never rains in Seattle.
No. Yeah, I lived there for 4 years. It never rains there.
Well, I can't wait. I'm going to have dinner at Laurie Marie Hines' house. Her and they live in Seattle, and she just did her kitchen over, and it's supposed to be like... Well, she's a great cook anyway, so I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could. Oh, I was in Kansas yesterday, and it was 27 in the morning, so yeah.
Ooh. It's cold. So, we can do two things. There's going to be an operator on the call. So if you're... If you're on the call right now, just press *0, and that'll get you into the queue. So we could, you can teach all the way through, and then take Q&A at the end. Or if you wanted to go and like open up for some questions, and then go back on a topic. I'm not sure the best way how you want to do it.
Yeah, well, if you could tell me if there are people out, if there is a question, if you could just let me know, then I'll, you know, jump on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me see. Is there an operator on the line? Guess you can do that.
Hello, this is Lily. I'm on with the operator for today. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How
doing
are you?
Doing great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So what we'll do is, like, as we're going along, if people start going into the queue with questions, like, we'll, like, stop and we'll, like, take some questions as we go. I think what we'll do is we'll wait till we have like two or three people in the queue, then we'll answer those questions, and then we'll after those get answered, then we'll go on and like people pop back in. We'll do it that way. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Okay. So we usually start these calls right at 1 o'clock. So the countdown goes.
The pressure's on.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, it's Jeff Lindahl. I want to welcome you to the Mastery Teach Call today. If you want to ask a question as we're going along, just press star zero. That'll get you into the queue. If you press star zero twice, that'll take you out of the queue. So just do it once or every odd number. So today we have Karen Hall from she does self-directed IRAs from UDirect. They're a great service. She knows how to work with investors. She's like she puts people together. She can answer just about all the questions that you have because she is like one of the best out there. So what she's going to do, she's going to just go over some of the concepts, and then we'll open it up for Q&A as we're going along, and so it'd be great. So Karen, I want to welcome you to the call.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. I gotta give you a little thing about my name. Now, being from Boston, you should get this. It's Karen.
Oh, Karen? Oh my gosh, that's too many R's for me.
that's why my kids have normal names, but, we'll just throw that one out there. Yeah, have a weird name, like Jeff, right? And you never have that problem.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But, I've lived with them all my life. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk to your group. I really appreciate it. And I've got a lot to talk about. And so, like you said, if there are questions, let me know, because that's what makes it interesting. I mean, I really want to address the questions that are on people's minds. So, but I'll cover the basics, and then we'll pause when those questions pop up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So UDirect IRA Services is my company, and I founded this company in 2009. And since then, we've helped over 3,500 people invest their IRAs, take the money out of the stock market, and put it into asset classes that they know best, for example, multifamily residential investing. Let's just throw an example out there, but also notes and, all different kinds of things, maybe raw land and private stock and trust deeds, all different kinds of investing. It's called alternative assets, and that's what self-directed IRAs are for. So what we do is we help people self-direct. What we don't do is give you tax and legal advice because we're not attorneys and we're not CPAs. And we're also not investment advisors. So we don't tell you what to invest in. It's really, really self-directed. So you're telling us what you want to invest in. So we don't recommend any particular investment. We're just here to tell you how to use a self-directed IRA. But we do, over here on the other coast have networking parties and bring people together so that, they can meet other like-minded people and network a bit. So we do that from time to time. So that's what we do here at UDirect IRA Services. So to go on, really self-directed IRAs, if you think about it, the purpose of the self-directed IRA is to save for retirement. That is the reason for it. It's for investment purposes only, and it's for retirement purposes only. So that's to say that your IRA doesn't buy a place that you live in or have personal use of. Everything you do with an IRA is for later. It's just an investment, not for personal use. Okay? And there is so much money in America in retirement savings. The last number I heard from DC was $24 trillion, with $7.7 trillion of that in IRAs alone. But there's not just IRAs, of course, in retirement. Of course, there's 401ks and pensions and defined benefit plans and more. But if you think about this huge pie of $24 trillion in savings, only about 3-4% of it is in alternative assets. And why do you care about that, right? So if you care about that, because if you're raising capital, here's a place to raise capital from. You ask your potential investor, hi, do you have an IRA or do you have a 401k with a previous employer? And if the answer is yes, they can take those dollars, move them into a self-directed IRA, and then invest potentially in your deal. That's how that goes. So that's why you need to know that there's a lot of money out there that can go into your deals from retirement funds. All you have to do is ask the question. A lot of people, though, still don't know about self-directed IRAs. We like to call it the best-kept secret. We still get calls from people whose attorney or CPA said, oh, no, your IRA can't buy real estate. But the truth is,
It was Gerald Ford who signed the ERISA laws into effect in 1974. I mean, before some of you were even born, these laws went into effect in 1975. So it's been a long, long time that you've been able to self-direct your IRA. It's nothing new, and I'm sure you've heard about it before since you're on the call. But the difference, right? So what makes it self-directed? Really, an IRA is an IRA. I mean, there are rules. You go to irs.gov, look up Pub 590, Publication 590, tells you all about IRA rules. Self-directed IRAs are IRAs. The only difference, just one really, is the assets that the plan can hold. So a typical IRA, that's in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, you know, correlated assets, right? But a self-directed IRA is in alternative assets. Again, maybe private lending, maybe apartment buildings, maybe notes, maybe private stock, lots of different alternative assets, maybe precious metals, lots of different other things that the IRA can invest in. So how do you contribute to a self-directed IRA? It's the same. How do you take money out of a self-directed IRA? And we'll talk a little bit about this, but it's the exact same as any other IRA. The only difference is the asset class, okay? But what's really important to know, I think, about self-directed IRAs, if we're going to talk about them, which of course we are today, is how you really have to be super careful up front when you invest. And I mean due diligence. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when you're investing in real estate, as an investor, you probably understand due diligence. I'm sure Jeff talks about it a lot. You know, when it's real estate, title reports and things, and who are the sellers, and what's the condition, and what's the history of the property, and so forth. Those are all real estate things that you're looking at for due diligence. You need to do that up front and make sure that your IRA is truly going to own the property, those sorts of things. Because when an IRA loses money, you can't just pick up the phone and say, hey, my asset is worthless, just write it off and close my account. We can't do that. We have to have a valuation proving that your asset is worthless. So maybe your IRA lent money to somebody who never paid you back, which is unfortunate, and it makes it more unfortunate that we must have a third-party valuator tell us it's truly a worthless asset to be able to mark it down to zero. So you want to know that going in, and you want to be super careful when you invest your IRA money because, you know, it's, of course, it's not easily replaced. You've got these contribution limits. So just be safe. You know, most of our investors are very safe with what they do. A couple have not been lucky with their investments, but that's investing, right? I mean, it's when you invest, you put your money at risk. So keep in mind that losses, you know, are not easily replaced, and to do your due diligence. Okay. So we should talk a little bit about the rules of self-directed IRAs. That makes sense. The self-directed IRA, when it was brought up in 74, 75, the IRS didn't tell us what this self-directed IRA can invest in, only what it can't invest in. And it can't invest in life insurance contracts and collectibles. That's the list right there. Now, your IRA is also not going to buy shares of an S corporation, not because the IRS says so, but because S corporations don't allow a non-human entity to be an investor. But your IRA could lend money to an S corporation, just not be a shareholder. So it's a pretty short list. Everything else is pretty much, you know, okay. So say, for example, you're working with investors and you're raising capital for your deal, and you want to partner with somebody on your deal, and you want to use IRA money. So you say, hey, do you have an IRA, or do you have a 401k from a previous employer? The reason I say previous employer is because if your funds are with your current employer, you're probably not going to be able to self-direct. You really have to wait until you leave the company to roll over that retirement plan. But there's an exception, right? And that's called an in-service transfer. You're working there, you're in service, and they allow you to transfer. So how do you know if you can do this? You go to your current plan administrators, your plan administrator, to their whoever, maybe their toll-free line or something, and say, look, does my plan have this in-service transfer opportunity? If the answer is yes, maybe you'll be able to roll it over from your current employer. Otherwise, you really have to wait until you leave the service of the company to roll over a 401k. All right. Good to know, because, you know, you want to have the right expectations going in. So these IRS rules, the rules for self-directed IRAs are written by the IRS pretty much, and also the Department of Labor. But if you go to irs.gov, their website, look up Pub 590, you'll see a lot of rules. In fact, most recently they've broken down Pub 590 into sections A and B, and it even talks about prohibited transactions now in Pub 590, which is great. Because the self-directed IRA game is a game of keep away, from prohibited transactions. That is how you win the game. You stay away from those things and then you do fine. So your IRA doesn't borrow, you don't borrow money from your IRA. You can borrow money from a 401k, you know, you can do that, but not an IRA. You don't sell any property that you already own to your IRA. You don't use it as security for a loan, and you don't use your self-directed IRA to buy property for personal use, whether present or future, if you're using your IRA. So some of the rules right there. Now, another thing that's really super interesting about self-directed IRAs that doesn't exist anywhere else that I've ever seen is that certain people are qualified and certain people are disqualified to the IRA. So if you're going to play the game, play to win, stay away from these disqualified people. And who are they? They're your lineal ascendants and descendants, your parents and grandparents and their spouses, you and your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, and their spouses, up and down the family tree, right? Those people are disallowed, plus anybody offering services to the plan or any fiduciary to the plan. They are disallowed, and your IRA doesn't do business with them, okay? But the people who are okay are the people who are out to the sides on the family tree, like your brothers and sisters, your aunts and uncles, your cousins, nieces and nephews, your friends. Those people are okay. But if they're straight up and down the family tree, they're disallowed. And that's an important rule to remember when investing with a self-directed IRA. Super important. So let's cover prohibited transactions. Okay? There are three of them. I mean, there's, you know, really a couple more that we'll cover, but primarily there are three things to keep in mind. Number one, neither you nor any of the other disqualified people can benefit from that IRA today. It's all about later. It's all about saving for retirement. For example, your IRA doesn't make a loan to your son so he can go to college. He would be a disqualified person benefiting from your IRA today. That would be a prohibited transaction. And guess what? When you commit, when your IRA commits a prohibited transaction, it can be, the entire IRA can be dissolved. And the balance of your entire IRA, not just the amount of the asset, but the whole thing, the whole account, can be dispersed to you as a taxable event, and then you get 1099'd on the whole thing. That's why you want to avoid these prohibited transactions, because that's what could happen. Okay, so another one of these prohibited transactions, as I mentioned earlier, you don't buy, sell, or exchange property between the IRA and any of those disqualified people. Now, you can transfer upon death, that's fine, but you're not going to buy, sell, or exchange assets between the IRA and a disqualified person. So your IRA doesn't sell a house to your kids. Your IRA doesn't buy a house from your parents. Your IRA doesn't buy a house you already own, things like that. That's prohibited. What's also a prohibited transaction is if one of these disallowed people, remember up and down the family tree, you, your parents and grandparents, you and your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, they can't provide goods, services, or facilities to the plan. Yeah, so what does that mean, right? So say your IRA buys an apartment building and you're going to, you know, it needs some fix up. And so you think, hey, my dad is really great at this and he's going to come in and he's going to work on this and help. Well, your dad is a disallowed person to your IRA. He's up and down on the family tree. If he, your dad came into this building that your IRA purchased and started doing some of the work, that could cause your IRA to be dispersed to you as a taxable event. That's a prohibited transaction, and that's what it could lead to. So you want to avoid that, right? Be super careful. So same thing. You don't swing the hammers and or do any of the work. It's called an overcontribution of sweat equity. So you don't do that with property that your IRA owns. Just keep everything arm's length. And that's how you win the self-directed IRA game, is to keep it all arm's length. So the other part of this being kind of a game, you want to know who the players are, right? So there's you on the one hand, and there's your IRA on the other hand. So it's not you investing. It's technically your IRA is the investor. So we sign on behalf of the IRA. And then there's you direct IRA services, your point of contact from the minute you open your account till, God forbid, you pass away and your heirs take over your account. We do everything. We're your point of contact for everything about your account. And when I founded the company in 2009, I enlisted the services of a trust company custodian to hold the funds. So those are the players in the self-directed IRA game. Okay. So now that we know the rules, let's talk about it a little
you
bit.
You know what?
So you say your IRA. Yeah, what's up?
Karen, just like see if the operator has any questions right now, because that was a lot of good stuff you just covered before.
All right, let's do that.
All right, so operator, is there anyone in the queue?
Okay, we have one question. That question comes from Roger. Roger, please go ahead.
Hey, it's Roger from sunny Southwest Florida. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
Good, good. Karen, I have one IRA as a passive investment. My question is a little more complicated. Looking at buying a place, say 50-50 with a family member, and then fixing it up and selling it. Are there any ramifications in doing that?
You know what, actually, you're probably okay with that. As long as you and the family member, even if they're disallowed, as long as you invest in it concurrently, you get past that disallowed person rule with that. So you can never stay in the, if it's a house, you can never stay in the property, you can never buy each other out, but you can invest concurrently, fix it up, and flip it. But just remember that your IRA always pays its pro rata share, so it's 50-50, like you said. So then the earnest money has to be 50-50. The property tax bill, 50-50. Same thing with the proceeds.
Repairs, yep. Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you, Karen. Bye, Jeff.
See ya.
Happy to help.
Okay, and if anyone else has any questions, press star 0, and we'll get you into the Q&A on our next break. All right.
Actually, we have one more question.
Okay.
Okay, up next we have Stephanie. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Hey, Jeff, how are you? Stephanie,
good,
calling from New York. I'm well, thank you. All geared up for Super Bowl, of course.
Yeah.
Karen, hi. I had a question for you about concurrent investment. So on several of the deals that I've been looking at, I would need to utilize personal funds as well as IRA funds. Can I do a concurrent investment? My understanding is that I can do a concurrent investment where I'm maybe 40% and the IRA is 60%. So my first question, is that your understanding? And then secondly, if down the road I wanted to buy out the IRA in portion or entirety, do you think that that's a problem?
To my answer for both those questions is don't do those things. And so I'll explain.
Oh,
so
don't do those things. Oh, okay.
You're disallowed to your IRA, and I mentioned you can invest concurrently, but what you have to be able to do if the IRS comes to you and says, hey, did you personally benefit from the IRA? It's hard to say you didn't personally benefit when you've invested with yourself, right? Because you're going to get some personal benefit, because if some of it's your cash, you're going to benefit personally. So that's one reason. There was an exception called the DOL released it's a ruling 2000-10, so 200-10-2000-10, which outlines the exceptions for co-investing with yourself. Would I do it? No, because how do you prove to the IRS you didn't personally benefit from that asset? That's my opinion. So if you want to take that risk, you'd be taking a risk. So, and the other, what was the other question? So the other one was about buying the assets from yourself, from your IRA later on?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
So you're disallowed to your IRA, and a disallowed person can't buy assets from your IRA. So you could never buy an asset from your IRA. But say, for example, your IRA owns this house or building or whatever it is, right? And you want to have personal possession of that. The way you get it is you would get an appraisal, and then you would give us a direction. You would give us a withdrawal form, and you would withdraw that asset from your IRA, and then you would get 1099 for the market value, that appraised value of the property. That's how that would work. That's how you take personal possession of an IRA-owned asset.
I see. I'm not quite sure I understand the distinction, though, between withdrawing and actually just purchasing the ownership interest.
Purchasing, there's a purchase and sale agreement. You're going to buy it. That's one thing. A withdrawal is different. Like I say, it's an appraisal and a withdrawal form. And all we do is we just, boom, give you the asset. There's no exchange. You're not paying your IRA. Like if you were to buy it, you would give your IRA money for the asset, right? If you were buying it.
So you're saying that I could withdraw it from the IRA without any monetary exchange? between me and
yes,
the entity.
But it would be taxable. I mean, it would unless you've got a qualifying event and it's a Roth IRA and it's tax free, it would be taxable to you. So
oh,
that's
I
something
see.
To discuss
so
with your tax
distribution
before you do it.
Right. It would be considered distribution. Ah, I see. Oh, I understand.
Exactly.
Okay, and I'm sorry, Karen, could you just repeat the rule that you the document that houses the rule regarding exceptions for co-investing?
Sure. It's DOL 2000-10.
2000-10. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Oh, happy to help.
Okay, we have three more questions that are coming in.
All right.
Okay. Up next, we have Carlos. Carlos, please go ahead.
How are you, Karen? Hi, Karen. This is Carlos out in California.
Hey.
Hey, I have
Howdy.
A question. Are IRAs protected with the federal ERISA rules?
Great question, Carlos. 401k plans and plans where employees are involved, full-time employees are involved, have what's called an anti-alienation provision. That's sometimes called ERISA protection. It's sort of like we sometimes in the industry call it the O.J. clause, like how did O.J. Simpson get to keep his NFL pension? It's because employer plans have this anti-alienation provision that gives you protection from creditors. For the most part, IRAs do not. It varies from state to state. So you'd have to check your state law to see if your IRA has asset protection. So the answer is it depends. And that's so often the answer with the IRS, you know, what is the answer? It depends, and there you go. So in California, not usually. Your IRA typically doesn't have that. It doesn't have ERISA protection. It doesn't have an anti-alienation provision. But does it have a protection from creditors? That's going to vary from state to state.
All righty. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, up next we have Jennifer. Jennifer, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Great information, first of all. Thank you. Quick question. My understanding is, and this is a separate distinction, that in a QRP, the rules are significantly different. I can manage the asset and invest from my QRP. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, it is.
Okay, great.
That's not what we're providing or talking about today.
Right.
So that'd be totally different.
Clear.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank
You're
you.
Right. Oh, you bet.
Okay, up next we have Gary. Gary, please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, actually, my question was centered around a QRP itself, and you said this is not the same thing. This is actually... I was looking at a qualified retirement plan under my company with a 401k component and a profit sharing component. But that's could you discuss maybe briefly the differences in terms of restrictions between those two?
Yeah, pretty much. Think of it like they're just two universes entirely. One is the individual world, and the other one is the QRP world, if you want to say, or ERISA world for companies with employees. Okay? So you're either individual, like you can have an individual 401k, that's the hybrid, that's the link between the two worlds. But otherwise it's an individual plan, which is what we offer, we offer the individual 401k. Then there's the ERISA world of qualified retirement plans that have a lot more rules, a lot more reporting requirements, a lot more bells and whistles, and benefits and protections. So the QRP world is not my world, but that is the basic difference between them. It starts off with whether or not it's an employer plan for a company with full-time employees, and that's not what we offer, and that's not what a self-directed IRA is.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You bet.
The last question. So we can move on, Karen.
All right. Okay, last question. Super. So let's go forward. So let's talk about the pros and cons of using a self-directed IRA to invest in real estate. And I, of course, you know, you're real estate investors listening to this call, and it's the asset class that probably 90-plus percent of our account holders invest in. So the upside of using a self-directed IRA to invest, or a self-directed solo K to invest in real estate, is that the gains, like from rent or the gains from sale, come back into the account tax-free in a Roth or tax-deferred. That is the biggest thing, because if you're investing with your personal cash and you have a gain, obviously you're going to have to write that on your tax return. It's going to be taxable to you. I mean, there, you know, that's how that works. In a self-directed IRA, you know, there is, it's like a tax-protected area. And there are a couple times an IRA can be taxed, but basically it's income tax is tax-free or tax-deferred. So also in a self-directed IRA, there's no limit, time limit for holding the property. Your IRA buys the house or the property today, your IRA sells it tomorrow, there's no ramification. So that's important. An IRA can also borrow money. So it's not a conventional conforming, it's not a Fannie Freddie VA FHA loan, it's not the kind where you go to the bank and get a loan. It's not that kind, because personally guaranteeing a loan to your IRA is a prohibited transaction. Okay, so this kind of loan is called a non-recourse loan, and you need to go to a non-recourse lender. I do have a list, and I'd be happy to send it to you if you email me at khall, K-H-A-L-L, at the letter U, udirectira.com. I'll send you a list of non-recourse lenders. So the IRA can borrow money as long as it's non-recourse. But I think the biggest pro with buying real estate with your self-directed IRA is that you've got this potential to earn a larger rate of return on invested capital. You know, why? Well, it's because you're going to compound faster. Here, your IRA invests, and maybe you liquidate that asset. The proceeds go back in the IRA. Now, 100% of those proceeds can go back out into the next deal and then the next deal, and you grow without being diminished by tax. So that's really a huge upside. So talking about the downside, the cons about buying real estate with your IRA, I mean, let's be fair, right? Pros and cons. The downside is that you don't get the same tax advantages inside an IRA that you get outside of an IRA. When your IRA owns property inside, you're not going to write off depreciation. You're not going to go take a trip to go visit your IRA-owned house and write it off on your taxes. You don't get those tax advantages of owning real estate. Again, the advantage you get is that the proceeds come back tax-free or tax-deferred. All right, you don't get the deduction for capital losses. So I think also you've got to remember, it's self-directed. There's a little more work because you are directing the whole thing. You are the investment advisor here, the expert, and you're solely responsible for all gains and losses. We're not telling you what to invest in. We're not advising you. You're saying, here's my asset. I want my IRA to invest in it, and we help you self-direct that money from where it is into your asset. So you're solely responsible for all gains and losses. And of course, as I was describing earlier on, you can't replace losses very easily because you've got these contribution limits. So that is the downside about using an IRA for real estate. So keep that in mind. But still, you have to ask yourself this question. Where is your money now? You know, what is it doing? And is it in the stock market? How do you feel about the stock market? Do you think that's a good, safe place for your money? And if the answer is yes, we'll leave it there. But if you'd rather invest in real estate or an asset class that you better understand, you can certainly do that. So that is the pros and cons of self-directed IRA investing. And so if we have questions, I'll take them. Otherwise, I'll move on. And we talked about non-recourse lending, and we talked about how you don't personally guarantee a non-recourse loan to your IRA. But what we didn't cover, and we should touch on, is that when your IRA takes on non-recourse debt, super important, your IRA will probably owe this tax. Okay? Yes, it's typically tax-free or tax-deferred, but there's a tax called Unrelated Debt Financed Income Tax, UDFI. You want to know about it. There's another time an IRA can be taxed, and that's when an IRA is investing in an entity that engages in a business that's unrelated to its primary purpose. Okay, so it's unrelated business income tax. So those are times when your IRA can be taxed. Here's where you read about it. Read about these taxes at irs.gov. Look up publication 598. Talk to your tax advisor. Ask them about it. And when it comes to paying these taxes, your IRA pays the taxes on a form 990T. You know how you and I, we fill out a 1040 when we do our taxes? Well, your IRA fills out a 990T, and your tax person can help you with that. So that's super important to know. You don't want to play the IRA game and not understand where you could get taxed And that's pretty important stuff. So any questions so far?
Yep, we have one
yes,
person.
Yes, we
in the
do.
Yep.
Up next, we have Maurice. Maurice, please go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? This is Maurice calling from Washington, D.C.
Hey.
Hey, just the question I had for you was, so I understand self-directed IRAs and the vehicle and the fact that you can have alternative investments inside of there, but what I didn't know is, let's say you have a piece of property that your IRA owns outright, and you know, the cash flow from the property is going back into the vehicle, as long as you can still take the proceeds that you're gaining from that real estate asset and use those proceeds within the vehicle to invest in another asset. So meaning you would have a piece of property, but then you can take the profit from it and invest that in the stock market. I'm asking if that's something you can do.
Absolutely. Yes, you absolutely can do that. So the answer is yes. Now, if your IRA owns real estate, though, you want to remember that all expenses of the IRA must be paid for by the IRA. So you want to
right.
leave some money in there because the property tax bill comes due. You need some idle cash to take care of that. But yes, you can certainly use the proceeds and invest them in other assets, yes.
Okay, so you can have multiple asset types within the same self-directed IRA account.
Correct. There's no limit.
There's no limit. Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, we have no further questions at the moment.
Okay, well, let's talk about the process of getting an asset into a self-directed IRA. We'll just pick real estate, for example. So the process of getting real estate into a self-directed IRA is a little different than just going online and you know, investing in some Apple stock, right? Or talking to your financial advisor and buying some stock. With a self-directed IRA, of course, you want to first get it set up and funded. So opening an account takes about a day. Funding the account, moving the money from an IRA or a 401k, that's going to take about 2 weeks. So before your IRA can invest in a piece of real estate, you need to actually have an IRA. And I say that because it's so common that people will say, hey, I found a house. I put an earnest money offer on this piece of property. I'm so excited. Now I want my IRA to buy it. But, oh, I don't have an IRA yet, so let's open one now. And by the way, I have to give them earnest money tomorrow. That's tough. That's a real – because first off, if you have an ownership interest in that asset, your IRA can't buy it. So you have to completely exit that deal, open up your IRA account and have the IRA, you know, invest the IRA in it and have, and the way that vesting goes is like this. It's the custodian for the benefit of your IRA. We say custodian FBO, your IRA, basically. So open the account and get it funded, takes a couple weeks, and then go shopping for your assets. Then, you know, be on the hunt to invest. And remember, again, the IRA is the buyer. You don't sign the offer to purchase. We sign because it's your IRA investing and not you personally. How do you do that? Well, you give us a direction letter, super simple, one-page form. You give us the supporting documentation, which would be, say, the purchase contract. We review it. What we're taking a look at is not to say if it's a good or bad investment, but we're looking at it to make sure that it's vested correctly and so forth. So assuming that, you know, we're going to give it a compliance check over, and then assuming everything looks good, we're on our end, we're going to fund, and then you're going to, you know, fund, record, get your keys, and your tenants are going to move in, and they're going to make their check payable to the custodian FBO, your IRA. All right? Now, they can also make the checks payable to a property manager. And really, a property manager can be an IRA's best friend when you own real estate. Because remember I was saying you need to keep investments arm's length? Well, a property manager really helps you do that. Say, for example, your IRA owns real estate, a garbage disposal breaks down because, you know, they do. You can't go in and fix that. You need someone else to do it. You can hire third-party vendors. So here's what you can do with your IRA. So let's just make a little list. You can certainly select the property. You know, you can shop for the property and select it. You can also screen the tenants who move in. You're allowed to do that. You can pick up and collect the rent checks that are made payable to the IRA, not payable to you. That would be bad. They need to be made payable to the IRA. And you can also hire third-party vendors to do the work. So in that regard, you can manage the property up to that point. Now, you can't get paid to manage the property, So you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to take any compensation for it. But you can do those four things. Select the property, screen the tenants. You can pick up and collect the rent checks, and you can hire third-party vendors. So that's pretty important. All right. So any more questions, I will take them as we move on to the next section. All right.
We have no
so
further
mentioning,
questions.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. So I did say, of course, how the IRA has to pay for all expenses of IRA-owned assets. And this is where you can really mess up. And one time we had someone take a home equity loan on their primary residence to put a roof on their IRA-owned house. So they talk about an overcontribution, right? So, and it was commingling funds. It was just, you know, it was not good. So, and how do you unring that bell? We can talk about that in a minute, but that is, you do not do that. You make sure that all expenses are paid for only by the IRA and not from any other source. So what if the IRA depletes its reserves? What if your IRA owns a piece of real estate? Here comes this property tax bill. You don't have quite enough money in the IRA to pay that property tax bill. Your IRA owns the property 100% outright. So what are you going to, you know, you don't have a lot of alternatives. So here's what you do. And if you forget, just call me and I will remind you. But six things, right? One thing is that your IRA, you can make your annual contribution to your IRA. Now the amount of that contribution depends upon your age, depends upon your income, and also your account type. So those are the factors that determine your contribution. So you talk to your tax advisor about it. And the reason that you want to talk to your tax advisor is not only to get accurate information, but also so that if it's deductible, they can deduct it on your income taxes when that time comes around. So that's one thing, is to make a contribution. Number two is you could liquidate other assets in the self-directed IRA. So maybe your IRA has this piece of real estate, but it also has maybe some, say, gold bullion. So you sell the metals, now your IRA has cash, and you can use that cash to make up for the shortfall. A third way is to transfer money from another retirement account. Maybe you still have some money in the stock market over here, you liquidate it, and you transfer it. It takes about 2 weeks, but you could transfer money into the retirement account to make up for the shortfall for this hypothetical property tax bill we're talking about here. Or your IRA could bring on a partner, as long as they're not disqualified, and your IRA could also take a loan. Now, in this case, it wouldn't be from a non-recourse lender. It would probably be from an individual, but your IRA could borrow money. It would be non-recourse. And if all else fails, your IRA could just sell the asset. So there you go. So that's important to know. If you have a shortfall on your IRA, what do you do? Well, there are one of six things you can do about that to make up for a shortfall. Okay. So with self-directed IRAs, I know that you know about something commonly called a checkbook IRA. And of course, it's a terrible name because it's not a special kind of IRA at all. It's just a nickname that's been given to what really is an IRA owned LLC. So a common misconception is when you open a self-directed IRA that you get a checkbook with it. And so just so you know, that doesn't happen. The way you get an IRA owned LLC is you open a self-directed IRA and it's open and has money. You hire a third-party vendor, like an attorney, to create the special purpose LLC. It has special language in it that is, you know, makes it compliant with the IRS. So then your IRA buys 100% of the initial units of that LLC. So your IRA then owns the asset, owns the LLC, and the money goes from the IRA into this LLC's checking account. And now you, as the IRA owner, have checkbook access to writing checks from your IRA. It must be for investment purposes only. And when you have one of these tools, they're powerful tools, you can do a lot with them. But you can also get into a lot of trouble if you don't really understand prohibited transactions. So there's some risk involved too. So you want to ask yourself, do you really need this tool? You don't have to have it. Some people like it, and you just have to make sure you use it correctly, because if you have a misstep, your entire IRA can be dispersed to you as a taxable event. That's the downside always with a self-directed IRA. You know, you want to play to win and not commit a prohibited transaction. And it's easy to do with an IRA-owned LLC, but it is a tool that you can use. Even though the IRS doesn't really like them, they have not told us that we can't have them. So that's important. I think there's probably going to be a question on that. So hopefully we covered it. So, you know, a lot of times we talk about self-directed IRAs, and it gives the misconception that it's one thing. But it really, when we talk about self-directed IRAs, it's sort of an umbrella term to cover a lot of different things. The traditional, the Roth, the SEP, the simple, the spousal, the inherited IRAs, All of them can be self-directed, all right? And we also provide the individual K, the 401K for a self-employed person who has no full-time employees in their employ. They could have part-time employees with certain limit, you know, caps on how many hours they work. But if you qualify for that, you could also have a 401K for an individual business owner. So those are the different kinds of accounts that can be self-directed. And how do you do it? It's a three-step process. Open, fund, invest. You open an account by filling out an application. We have them online. That's one process. And then we get your account open in about 24 hours, give you an account number, and you can log into your account and, you know, see the progress there. The second step is to fund the account, put money in it. The way you do that is one of three ways. So you make a contribution from your checking account. Again, you talk to your tax advisor, how much can I contribute? Get that answer, you can contribute. You can do an IRA to IRA transfer. So to do that, what you do is you fill out our transfer request form and you sign it. You give it to us and we sign it. We send it to your current custodian. Takes them about 2 weeks, but then they'll send the money over into your self-directed IRA. And the other way to fund a self-directed IRA account is a rollover, where you take a previous employer's plan and you go to that previous employer. You said, I need the rollover paperwork. I'm going to move the money to an IRA. They give you the paperwork. That rollover process takes about 2 weeks as well. That's how you do it. So you open it, you fund it, and then to invest, you give us a direction of investment form. It's our simple one-page form that's on our website. And you give us the supporting documentation, which is typically the purchase contract. If it's a private stock, it would be a private placement, PPM, and a subscription agreement. If it's precious metals, it would be an invoice. So whatever the supporting documentation is for that contract or that deal, you give that to us. We review it, fund it, and now your IRA is self-directed. All proceeds must go back in the self-directed IRA that owns the asset, and all expenses have to be paid for by that IRA. So open, fund, and invest. And that kind of wraps up what I have on my presentation for self-directed IRAs, but I want to tell you a little bit more about how you can reach other self-directed IRA investors. We have a group on LinkedIn, and it's called Self-Directed Investors /Networkers. You can join that group. We have a Facebook fan page, which is called UDirect IRA, or Self-Directed IRAs, plural. You can go, you know, join the fan page and, you know, interact with other people out in the world. So those are a couple of our social media sites. We have a free report on our website, which is udirectira.com. And if you've got questions or you want to talk about your own personal situation and, you know, talk about it offline with me, send me an email at khall, K-H-A-L-L, at the letter U, udirectira.com. It's probably the best way to get a hold of me. And so with that, Jeff, I'm going to turn it back over to you and to questions, and there we go.
Okay, very good. I know we have one person in the queue. If anyone else has any questions, press *0, and we'll get you right into the queue.
Okay, up next we have Stephanie. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Hi, Karen. I had one other question, just a clarification, in fact. You had previously been speaking about obtaining check writing privileges for your LLC that's owned by your IRA. If I did mm-hmm. not want to go down that route, what is the mechanism by which the LLC makes the investment in the asset or purchases
the real estate? Either your IRA purchases it directly or you purchase it through an IRA-owned LLC in this scenario, right? So either the IRA buys it straight out and then it's vested in the name of the IRA, or the LLC buys it and it's vested in the name of the LLC, which the IRA owns. So those are your two choices there. Does that make sense?
If it's vested in the name of the IRA, then do you have any type of bankruptcy protection in that situation?
Again, as I was discussing before, that's something that you want to look at your state law to determine.
Oh, that's why that question was being posed. I understand now.
Right. So asset protection with a self-directed IRA. I'm in California. You get some asset protection if the money came from a qualified plan, if you can, you know, but in California, an IRA doesn't always have bankruptcy protection. But it varies from state to state. So it's state law, not federal law.
I see. So if we go through the route of having the LLC purchase the property, then we have to follow the steps that you enumerated earlier, where you have to create a special purpose LLC that conforms to the language of the IRS.
Precisely.
I see. Okay, great. Thank you. I really appreciate it. This was extremely informative. Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Happy to help.
Okay, up next we have Dawn. Dawn, please go ahead.
Hi, Karen. Thank you. Well, a lot of good information. I've got two real quick questions that sort of go hand in hand.
Okay.
In my situation, I've got basically no after-tax assets available, very little. Most of my assets are in my retirement plan. I'm looking at how to deploy that for purposes of real estate investing. And so if I was to find a deal that, let's just say hypothetically, I had $100,000, but the deal required $200,000 to get it done, is there a way to take on partners, not own 100% of the asset, but own half of the asset? And along with that, is there any mechanism at all to earn an income after tax from that property while it's owned by my retirement plan, or is that completely prohibited?
All right, well, two questions. And yes, your IRA can take on, you can partner with people, you can partner with other people with their cash, you can partner with other IRAs. So absolutely, yes, you can do that. So that's completely allowed, and that's what a lot of people will do. But again, keep in mind, when you've got a pro rata split like that, if there are two owners, say it's a piece of real estate, technically your renter would need to make two rent checks every month, one to your IRA, one to the other investor. So that's when you may want to use a property manager, so that they would just make one rent check to the property manager and let the property manager take care of the details and split that up. So you, can you partner? Absolutely. Okay. Now, your other question was, say again?
If there's any way to earn any income from a deal, you know, as the deal's being set up or as it's being managed. Is there any way to draw an income from it in any way, in any kind of salary?
Yeah, the answer is just no. It's just 100% no, because you're not, again, a prohibited transaction is receiving personal benefit from your IRA. So if you're taking a salary from your IRA-owned asset, you are benefiting from your IRA. That's prohibited. It could cause your entire IRA to be distributed, so we don't want that. So the answer is no.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Up next we have Sherry. Sherry, please go ahead.
Hi. So I am looking at doing a deal where part of the a partnership, where part of the split is based on how much we contribute financially, and the other part is based on how much management, how much sweat we put into it. So it seems like there's some kind of a conflict between you saying we can't manage it ourselves, and we would have a property manager, but you know, like say 50% of it would be based on how much money we put in. The other 50% is split based on how much we actually contribute to the entire purchase and the entire overseeing of the whole deal and ultimately the selling of it. Does that conflict with the, you know, you can't manage it yourself rule?
Well, it conflicts, but it conflicts for a different reason because, of course, you're not allowed to contribute any sweat equity to an IRA-owned asset, but also your IRA has to stay pro rata. So it doesn't matter how much, you know, you're not going to contribute any sweat equity at all, just zero. So if your IRA is like a 30% owner, it's from day one, 30% earnest money, 30% property tax bill, 30% rehab costs, 30% everything. So you're always paying, your IRA is always paying and receiving its pro rata share with no sweat equity at all. So that would not be an ideal situation for a self-directed IRA.
So maybe when I said sweat equity, I was, you know, that's like I'm actually there repairing the work, doing the work myself. But, you know, say there are three partners. Each of us has to take on a role in overseeing our investment. So that's what I meant when I was talking about sweat equity, how, you know, taking on a role in overseeing what we all own. Same answer?
Okay, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, what you can do is like those four things that I was mentioning, you know, selecting the property, screening the tenants, picking up and collecting the rent checks, and hiring third-party vendors. Those things you can do. Otherwise, no.
And so, for example, the property management company sends us a Monday report, and we all three of us partners would look at the Monday report and say, we don't like what you're doing here. you need to get this fixed, et cetera. Is that a prohibited activity?
That is not prohibited. It's completely allowed. You can absolutely, of course, you're going to manage your assets. So, yes, you can completely do that.
Okay. Okay, so the other question I have is that I went to the Anderson Advisors Conference through this program that you're speaking on now a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about that the SEC is really out to get self-directed IRAs, that in the past couple of years they've put a target on them. And Anderson Advisors recommended that we go with qualified retirement plans instead because they've been around a long time and the SEC has not put a target on them. So I just wanted to get your thought on that. I mean, it's a very different
sure.
road to go down, and I'm very confused by which way to go.
Sure. Well, I mean, you also have to understand, you know, how they're earning a commission too. But with self-directed IRAs, I mean, I've heard this since I got into this industry 10 years ago, this very same kind of a fear thing about self-directed IRAs. There's not a target on the back. The GAO, just General Accounting Office, just released its recommendations to the IRS about self-directed IRAs. So you could look up the GAO report that just came out last week. And, you know, it has some concerns. The concerns have to do with being able to value the assets, which has always been, you know, for the 40 years you've been able to have a self-directed IRA, it's always been an issue that we've addressed as an industry. And, you know, also being aware of the UBIT and UDFI taxes that I discussed. That's what the GAO report talks about. And so forth. And, of course, these IRA-owned LLCs, these checkbook IRA arrangements are also under some scrutiny because of how easy it is to commit a prohibited transaction when your IRA is doing a transaction and there's no custodian or administrator overlooking your shoulder to, you know, just kind of take a look. So those are reasons that there are concerns about self-directed IRAs, but it's not on the chopping block. I mean, I actually sit on the board of directors for RITA, the Retirement Industry Trust Association, and we have a very robust industry. And, you know, we work with the regulators and we talk to them and we have twice a year conferences and so forth where we talk to regulators and we really get the pulse of what they're thinking and work together with them. For example, the Department of Labor came out with their fiduciary ruling. Self-directed IRAs are exempted from that in the sense that we don't offer investment advice. So, you know, I don't think self-directed IRAs are not on the chopping block.
Okay. Well, this has been helpful. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. Up next, we have Paula. Paula, please go ahead.
Hi there. Just so that I'm crystal clear, because I know there's a lot of great information you just gave, I want to make sure that I'm really, really clear about what you can and cannot do with your own funds. So, for example, if I have $100,000 in a self-directed IRA, I can obviously invest in somebody else's deal. But in terms of if I find my own deal and I want to use the IRA funds, my own IRA funds to put the earnest money down, for example, on this deal that I have found on my own deal, is that too close? Is that a prohibited activity?
Yeah, you would not do that. It is prohibited.
Okay.
Don't do that because your IRA is not going to I'll tell you, this is like the number one most common misunderstanding about self-directed IRAs. The IRA isn't a down payment on your own deal. The IRA can only be a down payment with using a non-recourse loan on an asset that the IRA is buying. If the IRA were a down payment on a deal that you were buying personally, you would be receiving personal benefit from your IRA. That would make it a prohibited transaction. So it's never a down payment on a deal you're doing personally.
Okay. Is there ever a scenario where you can invest in a deal that you personally had found? And I think the answer is
well, of
no,
course, you're going to personally find these deals. Yeah, you're the one who's going to find the deals, and it's self-directed, and that's really the nature of the account type is that you must personally find the deal. These are you're directing this, you're finding the deal, and you found it. But either it's an IRA-owned asset or it's a personal asset. It's not both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I find the deal, I secure it. I then have to, in order to fund it, I then need to bring in other people to be able to fund this.
Right, you're not going to use your own self-directed IRA to buy an asset where you're going to have personal benefit, right? You can have, you know, people who are not disallowed, like your friends and aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters and, you know, regular investors you meet at a real estate investment club, they can invest with you. But you're not going to put your own IRA into a deal where you are going to be providing sweat equity or that you're going to have personal benefit of.
Okay. Always was wondering where that line was because I was never really clear. So this helps. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to help. And, you know, right, these things can be very gray sometimes. You try to get the whole picture. So I'm just so happy to be on this call today to help set things straight.
I appreciate it.
Okay, up next we have Frank. Frank, please go ahead.
Hi, Karen. This is
hey.
From Seattle. You just clarified my question regarding, how the checks will be written for those individuals that have invested using their self-directed IRA and those that didn't. So thank you for clarifying that. So if you can just give me your website again. You kind of went through quickly on that, and I didn't get a chance to write all the information.
Sure. It's the letter U, and then U direct IRA. U direct IRA.com.
Say that again, please.
Sure, udirectira.com. So it's the letter U, udirectira.com.
Okay. All righty. Thank you much. I know I missed some of the information, but hopefully through your website I can kind of get those clarified. Thank you.
You bet. You know, and by the way, if anybody has a question – I was just going to say, if anybody has a question that they want to take offline, just email me again, khall@udirectira.com, and I'll answer your question if you don't want to air it out in public. Be happy to answer them. Go ahead.
Okay, up next we have Steve. Steve, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Karen. It's good information. Just had a question for you on, if we had four partners and each had their own self-directed IRA and we bought the building, so how does it end? Let's say we hold the building for 5 years. I mean, during those 5 years, we can't take any distributions, I suppose, and then at the end of 5 years, you would have to sell it. I mean, how do you close out, or how do these things end?
Sure. That's a great question. What's the exit strategy? Great question. So anytime you have an IRA, including a self-directed IRA, you can always withdraw money if there's cash in there, or you can always withdraw the asset. So you can always take distributions, but of course they may be taxable, right?
Right.
So there's that. So say, for example, four partners get into an asset, a building, you hold it for 5 years, and then you have a liquidation event, you sell it. The proceeds are going to be split pro rata back to the four partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to, if they're all IRAs, the money's going to go all back in their IRAs, and then they just go in, you know, and they live to invest another day. You know, that's how that would be the exit strategy there.
And if you did it through a Roth, none of it would be taxable.
If you did it through what now? I'm sorry.
If you're Roth, you can have a Roth self-directed IRA. So if you set up the purchase and an operation through a Roth, at the end of 5 years or so, and you sold it, the gain on sale would be tax-free.
You're right, as long as you meet the qualifying events, you know, for Roth, in other words, like being of retirement age and so forth. So, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Roths are typically ultimately tax-free. That's right.
But it's the same same paperwork, basically, for a Roth as it is for a regular self-directed IRA.
That's right. I mean, we have a different application for a Roth because it has a different tax treatment. But, yeah, basically it's exactly the same, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Thanks, Karen.
You bet.
Okay. Up next we have Trinita. Trinita, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Trinita, Karen. My question is, if your husband retires and he has a TSP with the government and he wants to roll it over into a self-directed Roth, and then he wants to use it to invest in real estate, and I'm the investor. So it's prohibited if I use his Roth or he transfers. In other words, he cannot transfer it to me first. Can he transfer it through my corporation? And I am the shareholder.
All right, so a couple of things that came up in that explanation. One thing is, if your husband retires and he has a TSP, thrift savings plan, he can roll that over into a self-directed IRA. It's probably going to be pre-tax. So if he wants to make it Roth, he would need to convert to Roth, and that's a taxable event, so discuss it with your tax advisor. So there, first off, we've got a rollover, then we've got a conversion, and now we're going to talk about how to invest that money. And so now the money's been rolled over and converted to Roth. Now your husband, understand that these are individual accounts, and they always go with the individual. And also understand that your husband is disallowed to you. Husbands and wives are disallowed. So your husband is not going to invest in anything you own. You can't provide services to the plan. You have to keep it arm's length. So your husband can invest his retirement plan in assets that he chooses, but and you can obviously, as his wife, you're going to give him your opinion, but it's his IRA. He's going to self-direct it, and he's going to invest in assets, and you're going to keep it arm's length and not be involved in the active, super active participation of that asset. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, I'm next. We have John. John, please go ahead.
Hey, Karen. John here in Seattle. Just kind of curious with all the restrictions and regulations with the self-directed IRA, why not just deal away with the solo 401k?
The restrictions with the self-directed IRA?
Yes.
Sure. Well, the restrictions are that you don't invest with disallowed people. And the restrictions are, again, those prohibited transactions. So you don't personally guarantee a loan to your IRA. You don't have personal benefit from your IRA. You don't provide sweat equity, to an IRA-owned asset, those sorts of things. You don't buy, sell, or exchange assets between the IRA and disallowed people. Those are the restrictions.
Gotcha. But what if you were comparing that to a solo, like a self-directed 401k? Wouldn't you have more flexibility in utilizing that when it comes to investing in real estate?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, with a self-directed 401k, you still don't commit a prohibited transaction. That's the same. But when you've got an individual K, it's not an IRA. Yes, it has different rules. For example, if your IRA borrows money with a non-recourse loan, your IRA owes the UDFI tax. But if your self-directed solo K invests using non-recourse money, it doesn't owe the UDFI tax. So that's one difference between investing with an IRA and investing with a solo 401k. That's one difference. You don't borrow money from an IRA, but you can personally borrow money from a 401k, $50,000 or 50% of the account, whichever's less. So those are two of the differences between using a 401k, self-directed 401k, and using a self-directed IRA.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, we have no further questions at the moment.
All right, that brings us to the top of the hour. That was great information. And I want to thank you for being on the call, Karen. And,
thank you,
you
so much.
Contact information once more time. And Karen, I'm just having a look. It's K-A-A-R-A-N. So it's pretty easy to pronounce. Unless you're from, like, Boston.
Think of it as Karen, yeah. Right. Karen, Boston, same kind of thing. But it's, so there you go. So the way, if you want to get a hold of me, please do. Email me is the best, khall, K-H-A-L-L, at the letter U, udirectira.com. And that's one way. You can, go online and look at our various, you'll find us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. you know, all these different social media sites, you're going to be able to interface with us there. Our website is just, I think, real great because it has so much information. It has all of our social media sites. It has all the rules about, you know, getting started and how to, you know, what to, you know, how to do this and the forms and a library of information, talking about all the different, really answering a lot of the hard questions. And we have a blog on our website too, where there are articles, pretty brief articles that talk about various aspects of investing that involve self-directed IRAs. So all these are great resources to find more information.
All right, that's awesome. So that will do it, and we will have a great day. Go out there, start making 2 private money contacts, put some a lot of intents in, and just do it. All right, thank you. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.